good morning, everyone. I want to just jump right in and give the introduction, which is music is like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, each week I ask everybody to pull back the musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our quest moment when we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So thank you, everyone in the Quest listenership audience, for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this morning, I'd like to lead off by saying, this week we remember that the world is a classroom, and so we encourage and ask our listeners to come learn with us. Now, we're going to have a little fun this morning, everybody. And, you know, with that being said, the theme for today is titled The Lens From Which We See. Now, this will allow each of our panelists to share any content of their choice within the parameters of our format, right? And I'll be right here with a watchful eye to see if you make sure you stay within the parameters to the best of my ability, right? So first of all, let me start out. Mr. Shelton Harris, I'd like to say good morning.
Good morning, bright moments.
All right. And Mr. Tamir Davis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Good morning. Good morning.
Very good. Thank you for asking. And Andrew Coates, good morning.
Good morning. So good to be here as always.
Okay. So, Andrew, I'm going to let you lead off. What do you have as far as content of your choice to share?
Well, as a matter of fact, while we were on here waiting for the show to start up, something that came to mind is one of the topics that we've been discussing lately is what we can do as citizens to combat the many injustices and issues that have been cropping up recently, and just in general that have been that we've been struggling with as a community. And that made me think about voting. That's the one thing that we're always coming back to, one of the solutions. And I think it's really important that we highlight some of the people in history who gave us the right to vote, who fought for those rights, and just let that be a topic of discussion today. So I definitely have some content on that.
Okay, so you care to be a little bit more specific?
Yeah, of course. I got a diamond right here, actually. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now, in particular for this voting right here, I've got Nannie Helen Burroughs, a black female suffragist. Around 1800, Nannie Helen Burroughs was born to a formerly enslaved couple living in Orange, Virginia. Her father died when she was young, and she and her mother relocated to Washington, D.C. Burroughs excelled in school and graduated with honors from N Street High School. Though despite her achievements, she was turned down from Washington, D.C. public school teaching position. And Burroughs proposed a school initiative to the National Baptist Convention, and in response, the organization actually purchased 6 acres of land in northeast Washington, D.C. Now, Burroughs needed money to construct that school, but she did not have unanimous support. So she ended up relying on small donations from black women and children from the community. She raised enough money to get this school opened up, the National Training School for Women and Girls. In addition to founding that, she also advocated for greater civil rights for African Americans and women. At the time, black women had very few career choices. Many did domestic work like cooking and cleaning. She believed that women should have the opportunity to receive an education and job training, and that was one of the bases of her push for a suffrage, so that black people could gain more independence and gain more control and access to the laws that governed and demanded these sorts of workplace environments that were male only, that were white only. That was a real big part of her campaign, and that's Nanny Helen Burroughs there, just a quick diamond. I think that's a real important topic for us, especially today where voting rights is under attack yet again on a state level, on a federal level. I mean, someone said it before recently on the show, if voting was not important, why are they working so hard to take it away from us? I think that says it all.
Okay. All right. I want to bring in the Black Librarian. Any response to that? And more importantly, what do you see through the lens as far as content for the show for today?
One of the things I see in terms of content, I wanted to talk about the opioid problem that we have in our community in terms of how I know a lot of people are open to the idea of smoking weed because it's been something that's been legalized in many different states. But despite it being legalized, you still have a plethora of people throughout the country actually smoking marijuana that's laced with fentanyl and other different type of dangerous drugs, and is really impacting our community tremendously, whereby you're seeing people who did not intend to become addicted to fentanyl or any other type of substances, and they become addicted because, as we all know, that marijuana is the gateway drug, and although it's legal, it's still problematic, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about and meticulously monitored. And I would like to say Andrew gave some great information. Kudos to him in terms of that individual that made a tremendous difference in terms of the voting rights that impact throughout our community.
Okay. And I would say alcohol could be considered a gateway liquid or drug as well. Alcohol is a drug. Right. Anytime you got to take a shot before you go to work. Anyway, I don't know. I don't mean to minimize the point that you're making, which is very important. Right. And forgive me for laughing. Right. But I always, for some reason, I see humor in everything just to make light of the situation, but not to minimize it. Right. So, with all due respect, I'd like to move on to our next panelist, Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, good morning again. And you see what we put together here. So let's have some fun. And do you have a response to the content? And do you have any content that you'd like to share of your own?
As far as what's been spoken of, these are things that's been affecting our community for a long time. What I would add to that is that the same kind of pressures, the same kind of oppression that we feel here in America, those same kind of pressures are being felt on a global basis as far as our diaspora is concerned. And, and a lot of times we look at our own problems thinking that they're paramount, but there are a lot of other brothers and sisters that are going through similar stuff in other countries, and the fight that they had to go through to gain independence from their oppressors, is a reflection of what we have to go through to fight our oppressors. And I think their struggle and their journey should be just as knowledgeable to us as we are to the interests we have amongst ourselves. There's been a lot of freedom fighters that's been going on the continent, Lumumba, Kurumba, Mugabe, all these people have been through similar, if not worse, conditions than we have here. And they're just as important. Their struggle and their liberation is just as important as ours is. And I think looking through that lens, we have to see more than just ourselves.
Oh, okay. I want to add my contribution. One of the people that I was looking at this morning is Mr. Kanjufu. the conspiracy to destroy black boys, right? And while Andrew did speak about women's suffrage, you know, it takes two. We are evenly yoked together. A lot of times our young boys are not allowed an opportunity to be able to have a rite of passage. And that goes for our young females as well, right? And we have to think of solutions, you know, that give them a rite of passage so that they have a firm ground to stand upon, to come up with solutions to be able to do things like the woman that Andrew has spoken about. And, you know, we have to be solution-oriented in order to be successful for the next generation, right? And although it's kind of vague, I don't think that's too vague. But anyway, I'm going to come back to Andrew. And Andrew, from what has been mentioned so far, do you have a comment? What do you have to say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would say certainly the biggest thing I have to say is I'm probably pointing out the obvious, but how important it is that all of these issues are so tightly interconnected and woven together, you know? Like, just merely based on what we've all said, the fact that as a community we lack the political power and wherewithal, the financial influence to influence the local laws and government on a widespread scale, that's what leads to the many issues that we're facing right now, like with the opioid crisis. Just like with many issues in America, these are issues that can easily be solved. I mean, we live in the richest country in the history of the world. This is we're so proud of saying that. We have the most powerful institutions in the world, the most powerful entity in human history, and yet drugs is the one thing that is failing us? No, absolutely not. We have the resources, we have the power, we have the ability. Every single thing we need to combat every issue we have is right here in the country, but we simply don't have access to that, and that's not what the people in power want to fix. They don't want us to have access to these things. So it's very important that we look at how all these issues are interconnected and how one issue can be just as related to another issue as another issue, this, that, and a third. The opioid epidemic, I'm sure, is directly tied to the long war on drugs started by Richard Nixon, emphasized by Ronald Reagan, a concentrated effort to cripple and weaken the black community from the federal government all the way up at the Oval Office. And it's all interconnected, and we really need to work hard to recognize that, to analyze that, and to break those chains of oppression.
Okay. Mr. Harris, when we talk about analyzing and looking at situations and being interconnected, you know, where's the solution?
Well, when it comes down to solutions, the only solution that we're going to have for our people is going to have to come from us. We have to stop looking outside of our community for things that's going to better our community. You know, we've been so caught up into trying to be part of the dominant society that we forgot that the dominant society is only dominant because they stick together. And once we understand that that's the kind of mindset we need to have, because it's not like we haven't gotten together and built institutions amongst ourselves. It's not that this has never happened. It's just that we haven't continued the struggle. You know, we feel like, well, now that society is supposedly open to everybody, we don't have to have our own anything anymore. And since the implementation of integration, we lost a lot of our, like the brother was talking about, economic power, because now we give our money to other communities before we consider giving it and building wealth for ourselves. And things like that have to be considered as part of the solution. And we need to do that, not yesterday.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we have the Black Librarian back online. And, wow, what is your response to what's been said so far? But more importantly, what solutions could you provide us?
One of the things that we know is that the proliferation of drugs and the interdiction of drugs been going on for quite some time. If you go as far back as 1938 with the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, that was the first agency that was developed prior to the Defense and Department of Drug Administration, the DEA organization. Prior to that, and actually prior to many other organizations, FBN was actually an organization that was actually developed to circumvent drugs. But even during that time, drugs was actually still being able to come into the country and being able to be shared. If you deal with the distillers companies from out of Canada, Seagram's and many other different companies, those companies was actually moving alcohol in the country even before the proliferation Prohibition Act that was actually developed. So we can talk about drugs, the problem of opiates, the problem of Molly, the problem of dope, cocaine, codeine, so on and so forth. But alcohol is a major, major, major problem in this country, and it's being sold all over the world. I think that what's the impact of the wars that existed from Vietnam, if you look at the Vietnamese War, and it wasn't just the Vietnam War, there was other countries that was fighting in Vietnam during that time. One of the things that was a cash crop was the heroin that was there. The same thing for Afghanistan. The cash crop in Afghanistan is the poppy seeds, you know. So although we develop ideas of trying to stop it, we develop these different agencies, drug agencies, to be able to engage in law enforcement, and then we develop these different health centers to be able to help those who are suffering from the drug addiction. But the problem still prevails. So I don't know if there's a real concise answer of dealing with it from both ends, because you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry that actually funded many different types of entities. And then you're also looking at the reality that the problem of the drug addiction in this country and all over the world is bigger than what people can actually conceive and handle. How do we stop it? I don't have an exact answer, to be quite honest.
Okay. All right. You know, some of the, pinpoint words for today's show that I want to throw out is we have to, you know, the word future, meaning we have to look towards our future. We have to, the next word is focus. We need to focus on solutions for our community. Like Mr. Harris said, you know, not yesterday, but right now, right? And, you know, we have to make an impact that's going to create a change for us. The word is impact. And the next word is agitation. And so on a political sense, we do have to continue to agitate, 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 like one of our great speakers from history, African-American, once said. And the next word is to persevere, right, for us to be able to overcome and persevere through these struggles as we agitate, as we keep our focus to make an impact for our future. And we have to be quite open-minded about the social constructs that inhibit us from making advancements. And that takes me to the last word, that we have to train our children, teach our children to grow up to become activists, you know, to not just stand by and take what happens, but to look inside ourselves to make change. and activate the community and the people and the neighborhood to make a better world for the future. I said a whole lot there, so I'm going to do like I always do. Mr. Harris, what do you think about my little statement there, right? And do you have a comment to, you know, just take it away?
I agree with all of the above, you know, because it's not just one strategy that's going to help us move from one place to another. We have to be able to combine all of the things that you talked about, starting, you know, because I think our biggest issue is the adults. They're kind of set in their ways. They're the hardest to change. But when you talked about trying to work with the kids and open their minds so that they can be creative to be able to find different ways of getting through the hardships, because it's going to always be hard until we make it better. And, you know, these are, and those, all the things that you brought up are very important. And, you know, and it's going to take hard work. And that's what a lot of us are lacking, the fortitude to do the work. They want the results, but they don't want to do the work to get the results. You know, that's really what we need to get over. And we can do that by starting with the youth.
Okay. Speaking of youth, Andrew, comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned before on the show that I've been really, really happy with how much my generation has been involved in the community. By most accounts, it was our vote that was responsible for keeping the midterms, for making them as historic as they were, with the current administration being able to keep a sizable, almost a majority, just super slim. And a lot of that came from the young vote. So I'm very happy with how the youth has been handling our current situations, our current predicaments. I absolutely agree with that. That's so important. And yeah, it all just comes back to just a theme that we're always saying, is that the power is within us. I do think that a grassroots movement from the bottom up is the solution to so many of our problems. So we take over the levers of government that should be for us, for the people, by the people, of the people. It should be us in power, and it should be us making the decisions. The government should be running for us. Society should be made with us in mind, not for the rich people in mind, who are profiting off of our issues, profiting off of our struggles, benefiting from our oppression. It needs to be us in charge, and it needs to be from the bottom up. Absolutely how I feel.
Okay, Mr. Davis.
Yes, sir.
Care to chime in with a comment?
I think that one thing that we have, many, when I sit back and think about it, there are different companies that found ways of dealing with the solution of drugs. And one of the things that's important is that you have to acknowledge it, and you can't just throw money at it either. You have to develop with programmatic ideas to make sure that, you know, students and children have ways of cartelling that. And it's a complex issue, but we have to continue to fight the fight and teach our kids about drugs before they actually leave the household, to have real conversations with people. My mother would talk to me, for example, about the dangers of drugs. And I remember Louis Day Spencer School in Newark would have programs about talking about the dangers of drugs and what, you know, what certain drugs can do to you and why you want to stay away from it, the possibility of ending up going to jail, the possibility of dying, so on and so forth. I don't know if that's happening in the same magnitude in the schools the way they were when I was going to elementary school. So we need to begin to start having real discussions and real conversations. And there's a mental health component that needs to be included. A lot of people have internal problems, child molestation, so on and so forth, abuse, rape. Those issues need to be addressed by clinicians and what have you, spousal abuse. So there's different reasons why people are depressed. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Harris, I have to ask you, With this small amount of time that we talk about seeing through the lens, seeing through our own lens, what have we solved here, if anything?
Well, what I think we solved was that the problem is bigger than just the one thing we can think about. You know, there's a whole lot of components to our problems. So we have to look at it through a whole lot of different ways of solving our problems. There's not going to be one solution. And Samir picked on it very, very well when he was talking about the fact that a lot of stuff within the drug culture, a lot of that stuff has to do with mental health, with depression and trying to, like the temptation say, go to cloud nine so they can get away from the reality of what's going on, you know, and that's why we need to change the reality so that we can stay here on planet Earth instead of having to go to cloud nine for stuff. And there's more than one way that we have to do that.
Okay. Have we solved anything within this time span for this particular show, Andrew?
I would say so. I think we definitely have some solutions out there, you know. Number one, absolutely all about education and learning and understanding these issues. I brought up the fact that, in general, more grassroots movements. I absolutely agree with the idea that we should not be expecting help from the top because they're the ones that benefit off of this. This needs to come from us as a community. We need to look inward. The power is within us. So that's always the ultimate solution.
Okay. So, Mr. Davis, have we solved anything in today's show?
I think the beginning, you have to take the first step. And one of the things that we have to do in solving an issue is acknowledging that an issue exists and discussing the issue. Most oftentimes, we don't want to acknowledge the issue of the drug problems. We want to walk past and say, well, maybe we'll clean it up later. We'll get to it. Maybe later. Well, there's a hell of a lot of people that's addicted to alcohol and drugs all over the country. So when are we going to have that collective discussion and begin to understand that there's a problem? How do we fix it? How do we just, you know, we fix it by having a discussion. And in the discussion, many times people can be really become very pragmatic and realistic about possible solutions. But if you're not even acknowledging that there's a problem, that there's a problem, then that's what makes what the problem even far more bigger.
Okay. The world is our classroom as well as our oyster, the lens from which we see as we investigate and discuss the different aspects of our community and our social condition, and understanding that we all have to be activists. I want to say to everyone, that's a wrap for this week's show, for this particular segment, right? And I trust that everyone feels, you know, confident enough to have participated and contributed. I'll just give everybody a last word, starting with Mr. Harris.
I really like stuff like this. We need to do this more often, and there's nothing wrong with brainstorming.
Okay. And thank you. And Mr. Davis.
I would say that I'm a great advocate for counseling. I did counseling and therapy for quite some time, and I found that in counseling and therapy, one of the things that I became very addicted to, opposed to drugs and alcohol, was art. I love drawing. I love sketching. I love reading. I love talking. I love getting stuff out. I like just being as transparent as I can be as humanly possible. So it's important to find your bliss, although it maybe not have been become a career goal. But I love art, and that's where I vent, I express, I emote, I talk, and it allows me to develop different options opposed to drugs. I've seen and I viewed how drugs has destroyed not just one individual, but destroyed generations and families, and I don't want to allow myself to engage in that aspect of life.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Davis. And Andrew, last words.
Yeah, last words. I'll just reiterate what I said. All the issues that we've talked about, they all have their basis in the social structure, in the political structure, in the economic structure. And it's up to us to get out there and to solve these problems. It's up to us to get out there and vote, to community organize, to make our political groups, to talk to our friends and family, to watch the news and to educate ourselves on what the opposition is doing, because they broadcast that all the time on the news. It's up to us, and it's never too late. It's never too late to pick up the phone, go to the ballot box, talk to your mayors, see what your politicians are doing, and just get out there and start rebuilding a world, a better world, one day at a time. We need to rebuild the world to be better for us.
Okay. And on that, I'll let that be the last word and thank everyone. First of all, thanking all the panelists and thanking, more importantly, you, the listening audience, for being part. And as I conclude, I want to remind each and every one of you to tune in every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on WSOU 89.5 FM. And you can check us out streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on Blog Talk Radio under the heading of Quest Youth Radio. And that's a wrap for everybody. Thank you again to our panelists. And that is it for today. Until we meet again, peace.
Peace.
Thank you.